All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, and good day to the Dad Timeout Show. We're just four dads with 12 kids between us, and we all, oddly enough, work in the entertainment industry. We're not experts, but we certainly listen to them. We react to them, and we share what we've learned with you. There's a little pop culture, a lot of parenting, laughter, and experience. Use the other 23 hours to do life. But for this, put the ears on and come hang out with us. It's a place to put your feet up or down, or if you're exercising or driving or trick-or-treating or skateboarding or kite surfing or hiking or moonwalking or needle-pointing or scrapbooking or dancing or gardening, refereeing, food shopping, and stuffs. Take a break. If you could like us, subscribe, or leave a review, we'd be forever grateful. And please follow us on the gram, Twitter, and Facebook. In tonight's Halloween show, yes, it's that time of year, Mark's favorite time of year, we will kick off our fabulously funny parent tweets of the week, all with a little Halloween twist, and then the dads are going to talk about a very important topic, how to feel less stressed as a parent, as new research is finding that parental stress, anxiety, and depression have, in fact, increased post-pandemic, and that's going to come straight from Psychology Today. And then the dads will have a little fun and break down the top 20 Halloween candies, according to Thrillist. And to finish, we'll take a couple questions from our popular new This or That segment. And finally, they'll wrap up with things that make them smile. Speaking of things that make us smile, I'm joined by a wonderful young lady out here. What's your name, ma'am?
Lola.
Lola, where did you go recently? I heard you just had a great family trip.
Disneyland.
Oh, you went to Disneyland. And what was the theme down at Disneyland this time?
Halloween.
That's right. It was Halloween. And what is your joke of the night with a little Halloween theme?
Why is it so easy to fool a vampire?
Why is it so easy to fool a vampire? I do not know.
Because they're suckers.
Because they're suckers, all right? Good thing that's not on video as you do your little hip-hop moves out here. But that is an awesome joke to kick off the show. The guys are going to be coming around the corner in just a second, so we'll come right back at you. Coming up next, the Dad Timeout Show.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, the guys have come around the corner. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Hey.
Cheers.
We can't technically cheers because we're about 6 feet apart, 7 feet apart.
Still maintaining protocol.
It's not like, well, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Not why.
Sort of, we but mostly to. Because I wear a lot of cologne.
Here, just for leg room. That's why we're doing it.
So we are in the backyard, and let's paint the room for our listeners. It's actually a chilly fall night here in California, Northern California. To be exact, I got a little themage going for you.
It yes. Smells amazing.
A little Halloweenage.
It does.
Wait, is that a bad
serious.
Term? Halloweenage.
No, the waft. The moment I rounded the corner,
it came at you.
I felt it in my jaw, like a tingle, like I was eating A1 sauce or something.
I'm a candle man.
It was that.
There's 10
Mark,
candles lit right
you'll
now.
You'll be
Mark.
Thrilled. Because I believe by the time we release this particular episode, we will be right on top of or close to the Halloween.
The big one.
All Hallows Eve.
It's our Halloween episode then.
Okay.
Give me a boo.
No.
All right. You guys know I hate this holiday, right? We've discussed this for years.
Yeah.
For years. I'm going to tell you, I may be turning the corner.
Why? Now?
I might.
Disneyland.
Candy? Yes.
Oh, Disney.
Another bane of my existence. Just the and listen, I'm gonna wrap, I'm gonna bring this full circle. I just the crowds, the adults that dress up and go cray cray, and elbow you out of rides when you're with kids and the strollers and the thing. It's just not where my happy place is. Mine is on a beach in Maui. However, in respect to my children's, we rolled the big D last week. And because, truth be told, my daughter, who I'm very extremely proud of, sold enough Girl Scout cookies to acquire a couple tickets back-to-back years.
Wow.
And then I don't think they're going to do it anymore. So we had tickets, and you lose it or lose it. So we were going to do Halloween or Christmas because we wanted to see a little themed out. We went for Halloween, obviously, to do the whole month. Blown away. Completely blown away. The attention to detail in that park is so ridiculous and so cool and so creative that I will give 100% credit where credit is due. It was Halloweened out. The night shows, the fireworks displays were all Halloween themed. They had different fireworks. They had displays on It's a Small World and the castle. And then the California Adventure out here, if you're in Florida, it's a whole different ballgame as well. California Adventure out here, they have a sunset show and they flick all the Halloween lights on all around the place. And it's just a really fun experience.
It's amazing what unlimited money will do.
We were doing the math when we were down there, and I was like, hey, Jen, just Google average attendance every day here. Mm-hmm. And it was something between 55 on slow days, 80 on full days.
Small town, yeah.
And then you think, okay, well, that times that by the ticket prices, and then the new genie pass, and then the lightning, and then the food, and then you're like, oh wow, souvenirs, okay, I get it. Oh, and Suvies, yeah. But regardless, you know what you're getting into when you go. And we did all the things that we loved in different angles. We did old school and new school, and I came back kind of a changed man.
Nice.
I might actually throw some stuff outside this year.
Wow, there you go.
I know.
Halloween at Disneyland is and Christmas, actually, both holidays, they do so extremely well. So if you get a chance to go and check it out, and I've been to Disney World for Halloween as well, and it's
the time to
super
go.
Super cool.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
Yeah. It was definitely a lot of fun. And my kids haven't lost their love for even the different levels. So they got the new Marvel Avengers World, and it was just rot. Now, my family, we bonded over the pandemic over Marvel movies, so it was really kind of extra special. But my goodness, they just did it right.
And that Spider-Man ride is ridiculously fun.
When you go in and that music's playing, and like you look up at the Avengers ship, and Thor is standing on the balcony with his thing blowing, not his thing, his cape blowing in the wind. You're like, oh my gosh, like I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Legit. I'm like, let me take a picture with Dr. Strange. Like, this was seriously cool. I had to get it all off my chest because last few episodes, I've been kind of like, oh, we're going to Disney, whoop-de-doo-de-boo.
Yeah.
And with you, of course, Halloween, I was a professional mascot, so I never want to wear another costume the rest of my life. But I'm transformed.
I love this.
Yes.
Interesting. I don't know what to do with it.
Well, I am counting down to Thanksgiving. I don't even know if we call it Thanksgiving. I don't know what we call it anymore, but I know we're getting there. That's the next big one, and that's a Chris holiday. I cannot wait
Christmas.
To
what?
Get in there. All right, well, I'm sorry I monopolized that. We'll catch up with you guys intermittently. In the interest of Chris getting tacos tonight, we want to kind of make this short and sweet because how old are you now, Chris?
Almost 50.
You've got to eat before you come record.
I had a little dinner, a little rice, and
when's your birthday?
next month.
You seem like the type, and I know you're all right, but that you wouldn't tell anybody your birthday. It would just kind of sneak on by. Are you that?
Yes. Not even your
How
family.
Did you know that?
You totally seem
Not
like
even
that.
You're your family.
You'd be like Molly Ringwald in 16
50,
Candles.
50 year.
Yeah,
50
when's
year?
Your birthday? It's like it's today, month. Actually. Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of birthdays. We're going to count down the top 20 Halloween candies, and let me just kick it off from 20 to 15 and weigh in where you think yours is. We kind of do this every year, but my tastes change. New candies come, and they get involved in my palate, and I kind of go there. So number 20, according to Thrillist, I don't know who wrote it exactly, but maybe it was a poll, maybe it was actual facts. I don't know. Number 20, Skittles.
All right.
Skittles coming in at 20. I am a fan of Skittles, sour Skittles especially. Yep. Payday, number 19. I didn't think they made Paydays anymore.
Yes, love the salty sweet.
Yeah. Salted.
You do?
And love. Caramel?
That's right. Probably my second go-to.
That's a good
really?
Candy bar right there.
Payday.
Love the salty sweet.
Got your nougat, you guys. 18 Haribo gummies.
Okay.
Oh, weird.
I told Chris I bought an entire bag of them for Halloween.
Very chemically.
Okay. Yeah, I heard they give you the poopies. Yeah. But that's another story. I don't want to get a lawsuit against this, but that was just maybe it's an urban legend.
It is.
17, Junior Mints.
Yes, ooh. Love the Junior Mints.
That's my dad's favorite thing at the movie theater, the Junior Mint. Right on, well, interesting. 16, Twizzlers.
No.
And then 15, Baby Ruth.
Yeah, all Baby right? Ruth, okay. Okay.
So that's 20 nice. To 15, Mark and we'll be continuing to count those down throughout the show. We'll just give some quick shout-outs to some great Instagram accounts. We just these are basically all funny dads and a mom or two. I got involved in voting on a meme contest tonight, and then I went and explored all these guys' accounts while I was preparing the show, and they're all pretty hilarious. At this is Father Figure, at Dadscaped, at Dad vs. Wild, at The Hardcore Dad, at Dad Without Borders, at The Dad Vibes, at The Lawn Warrior, at Dad Wilder, at Dad Home Lawn, Funkle Wilder, perhaps related to Dad Wilder? Don't know. And we'll just finish with a strong mom group, Moms Behaving Badly. So those are our IG buddies out there. And if you're just looking for humor and lightheartedness, those are some great accounts to follow. All right, well, coming up next will be our tweets of the week from other parents that are funny. Like, we're not funny. Like, we just talk about funny parents. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, tweets of the week.
Time now for the tweets of the week. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
All right, it's time for tweets of the week. I think we've got a theme here tonight. I'm going to say it's Halloween. Hey, Ben, spell Halloween real quick.
H-A-L-L-O-W-E-E-N.
All right. Very good. Spell Paige Stoyakovic.
Who?
Okay. So the first tweet is from Mum and Bits. It's kind of relatable. She says, Halloween activities with kids can be so fun. Like, for instance, earlier I dislocated my shoulder carving 3 pumpkins on my own while my kids watched Netflix and ate chocolate skeletons. You still carve Fair pumpkins?
Enough. Absolutely.
No.
Highlight. What is wrong with you? Do you hate Halloween that much? You don't carve
Here's what I hate, Ben, is green moldy pumpkins on my front deck that I have
Mark
to take out.
Mark is just looking Bactine. At you with such disdain right now.
You spray it with Bactine, and it keeps it you from don't, molding.
Oh, come on.
Spray it with
you
Bactine.
You are robbing your children.
Martha Stewart said.
There's a million different ways to preserve.
I'm not
pumpkins.
Saying.
Vaseline, all kinds of ways. So you got to get with the program. Now that you're a newfound Halloween love.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
You let
that
it
was
roll.
Judgy. That was quick. I recommend, MK, you try carving the pumpkins. Because get the newspaper out. Get the hands dirty.
Let me finish.
Okay.
We've carved pumpkins every year.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
And they're green and moldy. And then I kick them like. Oh into the God. Trash can as a sport 3 days later.
Perfect.
So our new favorite thing was painting the pumpkins or stenciling. And my kids got pretty elaborate. Like, we did stencils, the whole kit and caboodle. Oh. I'm saying personally, I don't like a green moldy pumpkin. You got to deal with that. All right, we're going to move on. Tweet number 2 at the Wild West 3. October PSA to elementary school parents not looking to have birds and bees conversation. The word virgin is said in Hocus Pocus. Approximately 11 billion times.
Yeah, seriously.
Did you?
My kids recently watched it last week, and the aftermath was like, you know, I don't know. I just left it alone.
It's so funny you say that because that's the only reason I pulled that tweet. Mm-hmm. We watched Hocus Pocus 2 last week, and it was a big event. Mm-hmm. My two younger ones came out. Like, we had a whole theme going.
Were they giggling?
We didn't do the whole pot and stuff like that, but, I mean... The witch's pot, not marijuana.
Cauldron,
that's what it's called. Thanks, Halloween expert. But that You're same exact question came up, and I was just like, yeah, look at her outfit. Isn't it great?
Let's leave it.
They did a very good job on Hocus Pocus 2. That's all I have to say.
I agree, but I am seeing mixed reviews out there in the metaverse. I'm on the side of, like, I don't care what people think. I liked it, and my kids loved it.
I didn't expect it to be any good, and after watching it, I'm like, this is worthwhile.
All right, well, maybe you can relate to this tweet then. This is from @LifePitts. The older you get, the more you identify with the Sanderson sisters, sucking the vital energy and youth out of children on Hocus Pocus.
No. Not at all. That's creepy and wrong.
You're missing the joke here, Mark. It's saying the older you get, the more you can. Anyway.
I get it.
Anyway. It's over your Halloween head. All right. This tweet comes from @SarcasticMommy4. That's a great strategy. New mom. I bought my kids' Halloween costumes back in August. Me. That's cool. I take my kids shopping on October 31st so they can't change their mind 800 times.
Yeah, seriously.
Are your kids, how are they?
My kids are pretty elaborate, so they start planning like 2 years in advance for like 2 years. So like, you know, I don't know where they really get this from. For their elaborate costumes, but there's a lot of planning involved and all of that, so.
We don't have mind changes per se.
Yeah.
But we will do a double costume, but like one for school and then one for out around town. Oh, wow. But they do a lot of they'll hand make a lot of their stuff.
Yeah.
Or they'll patch together stuff, and then we may buy an item, like a Harry Potter wand, but he'll do all the look. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I get it.
My wife, I'll put it this way, we have about 3 boxes full of handmade costumes. She could probably make a small fortune by selling. Very elaborate.
My wife handmade. Sews, yeah. So luckily that saved us some coin over the years.
Mm. There's like no other way.
We have a ton of handmade costumes that my wife.
We should start
made.
A little biz, a little Etsy store.
You know, yeah, it's you know, and but that's a very true story about being careful about buying a costume too early, because my 7-year-old has changed his mind at least a half dozen times, and we have yet to buy him a costume for that reason.
You're the latter.
He wants to go scary. Like everything he wants to do is like horror. It's like, dude, you're 7, and you go to a school that really is dissuading kids from wearing horror costumes. So
when I was in elementary school, everyone wore the plastic costume that you bought at Safeway.
Totally,
you
know, yeah. At
from Scream. You'd have the like.
No,
plastic
no, no.
Mask.
He's talking about like the
you know, like those old plastic in a box. You
the
know,
Ben Armstrong stuff.
There'd be like 5 Spider-Mans, 5 Fonzies from Happy Days.
Do you remember how hard they were on your face?
Oh yeah, the little thing. The eye holes would dig into your nose.
It never lined up with your actual eyes. It was horrific.
And the suit was plastic, and it stuck to you if it was warm on Halloween.
A fire
night.
Hazard, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Starsky and Hutch.
I bought a Jason.
Man. Here we go, Max.
This is 70s.
This is not. I would have been Huggy Bear.
I got a Jason mask and just slip that on every year.
Yeah.
Scary.
I remember one year I was so lazy that I literally just put baby powder on my face and bought wax fangs. I was like, Mom, it's too cold. I don't really want to go. And my friends were like, we'll go around our neighborhood and then we'll come home. And I'm like, just wet my face, put some baby powder, and I got wax fangs and called myself Dracula.
I would love to know you as a kid. That would have been so fun.
Did you used to have mischief night? Was that a thing in California the night before Halloween?
No. The night before Halloween. No, it was during Halloween.
You it know, was TP Halloween.
TPing houses.
TPing houses, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Halloween night after everyone was done out here.
I mean, you'd get taken out if you did it around here.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that was a thing. And waxing soap windows. You'd soap some windows.
Mm. There were, like, gangs of kids that would, like, knock you over and steal your bag of candy and
dang.
All that. Oh, hey, it was rough back in the day.
Grew up in the streets.
That happened.
Streets of Alameda. Yeah.
That wouldn't happen today.
San Carlos, too, my friend.
It would be rough on Pleasanton, too, guys.
Well, let's stay on the happy. Yeah, Pleasanton. Pleasanton. All right, this is from, we're just going to blow through these last 3. At Copy Mama says, Halloween is the best because it's the one day my kids go around demanding snacks from everybody else.
Boom.
All right, Copy Mama, I feel you on that one. At SwisherGirl24 says, you think you're going to be this Mary Poppins type mom before you know it? You're threatening to cancel Halloween in the middle of a grocery store aisle.
I witnessed that last night in Target. I saw a mom doing just that.
I'm usually the post facto. Like, if they do something the following week, I pull the, you know, just last week, we blah, 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 and you've got blah, 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 and now you want blah, blah, blah. I'm not really the ahead of the curve guy, but I have threatened to cancel things before.
Halloween is never canceled in my house.
Huh?
It's Halloween is never canceled in my house.
Well, that's because it's your holiday. Yeah, I don't even think anybody else likes it in your house. It's just you.
No, they all do.
It's sweet, though, that they support you.
They all do.
It's like scaffolding.
It is a support group.
Halloween scaffolding legs.
I got my own mini support group at home.
This is from @SarcasticMommy4. This is our final tweet of the Halloween night. As my son picked through his Halloween candy, he asked, "When can we go get a Christmas tree?"
Oh,
have kids. Soon. It's fun.
Oh. My kids are actually really sad that the big box stores are now putting up Christmas stuff. I was in one of the stores buying paint, and my son was like, "Why is all this Christmas stuff up, Dad?" I said, "I don't know. Do you want to look at the one half an aisle of Halloween stuff they have left?" And this was like a week ago.
That's a big national thing. So silly. Well, I noticed it recently because I get falled out. I'm like, where are all the fall things going? They're already on to Christmas. Like, I don't get it.
It happened really
Why
fast.
Why do the cycles go that fast? I'd love to read an article on consumerism,
money to be made,
behavior.
What's the rush? You're going to get there eventually.
I don't know. They crunched some numbers and decided that they should start selling Christmas crap and
start hanging their October, Christmas, I guess, lights up early.
It makes me sad. Yeah, there should be some rules.
Okay.
Yeah,
you need to talk to people.
Yeah, in Holland, it actually is a huge thing. I knew it. I shouldn't have said it.
Nothing. Here we go. First class ticket to Europe. Go ahead.
No, I reneg. Go.
All right. Well, then I'm going to get it back to Happy Land with the candy countdown continuing. Number 15, as I said, Baby Ruth.
Yes. Really?
Not
Baby
a fan.
Ruth over Skittles and all the others?
When's Aaron Judge going to have his own bar?
Oh, Baby Ruth. I thought, never mind. Baby Ruth is good, right?
You already said Baby Ruth. 15 to 1.
He's recapping.
Okay, yeah. Recapping. Got it.
Number 14, M&M's. Thought they'd be higher.
Plain M&M's.
I thought they'd be higher.
Yeah, peanuts got to be higher on the list.
Way higher than, yeah.
Interesting. Well, they have all the different types of M&M's,
coconut
too.
Ones are really good, too, if you've had those. Oh, yeah. Really?
No.
Coconut M&M's?
No. Yeah. It's pineapple on pizza.
Exactly. Oh,
no. I'll go pretzels in M&M's because chocolate and peanut butter.
Peanut butter ones are good.
Yeah.
13, flavored Tootsie Rolls.
No. Where did that come from?
Not a fan.
I think they're just popular because they're small and cheap.
No, they make like strawberry ones. Like I see those. That's like garbage can.
That's disgusting.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to, this is a long story, but I'll tell you the short version. I used to like Tootsie Rolls and Starbursts if they were heated up. So I would put them on the bedroom lamp in my room.
Oh, man.
And I would wait till they would heat up.
That's a fire hazard.
It was, and that's the long story.
Oh, man.
It caught a bag on fire. But I just told my kids that story the other day. Number 12, the Heath Bar. Toffee coming in at number 12.
Legit.
Interesting commentary. The Heath Bar makes you feel like a little British schoolboy with its toffee butteriness and make you look when your teeth eventually fall out from all the toffee you lost in your molars. Mm. All right, so throws this, keeping it real. 11, Starburst. All right, Tootsie Rolls and Starburst. Maybe I was a predictor there. 10. Should we go to 10? We'll save 10 to the next.
Let's save 10 for the next.
All right, so 11 is Starburst, top 10.
Okay.
Coming up.
So curious.
All right, we'll switch gears for a second and talk about, I wouldn't say serious, but a helpful article. Smart articles by smart people coming up next from Psychology Today, how to feel less stressed as a parent. All right, as we were tossing around the article ideas today, I declined a couple, and you like this one, so I like it too. The name of the article is by Kara Goodwin, PhD. Pardon me. She's a parenting translator. How to feel less stressed as a parent. Research finds that parental stress, anxiety, and depression have increased. Mm. This article's not that old, so these stats and stuff are pretty new. The key points in this article, and then we'll go through the different ways that people are being stressed and the ways to kind of help it and fix it. Key points are parents are experiencing high stress these days, much of which stems from the lingering effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. Point two, seeking a social connection or professional help and working on problem-solving skills are vital to cope with the traumatic events. Point three, learning to practice mindfulness, accepting that you can't be a perfect parent, and tolerating uncertainty are ways to reduce stress. So let's just kick it off. Why are parents so stressed? They are experiencing unprecedented stress. COVID-19 created enormous health and financial stressors, as well as an employment crisis. And research is now saying that it is. Anxiety and depression increased significantly. Stressful disruptions of the pandemic increased the likelihood of families experiencing more traumatic incidents. I won't get into stats. We'll just put up the link to the article. It's not really long, but it's long, but we want to all have our say. Do you feel stressed? Have you coming out? I mean, you've got work. Ben went through the ringer with his business. And we all went through it with COVID in general, schools, unknowing, all that stuff. But now that it's subsiding, do you feel like your stress has increased, decreased, stays the same? We can go around the room and then we'll talk about some solves. Chris?
One thing for me that the article like really kind of spoke or struck a chord was it was pointing out like how the brain requires a lot of energy to process uncertainty and how we're all kind of faced with extra uncertain times these days. And so like your brain is literally, you know, having overhead of processing all of these thoughts. And it adds to increased anxiety and stress. And I know for all of us, there's a lot of sort of increased uncertainty. And for me, dude, that was like a huge one. And I definitely feel like, I don't know if it's just my imagination, but like, I kind of think back to pre-pandemic times as like the carefree days or something. And I feel a lot more, I don't know, just like oogie these days.
Oogie.
And unable to find my happy space and all of that. And definitely like a lot more short-tempered and just feeling more tired and wound down and just anxious a lot more than I remember being. And it becomes almost like this is like the default setting for me now, like being anxious all the time and stressed out. But, you know, I'm trying to, like, you know, follow the some of the tips, like,
you know,
like mindfulness and all that, that try to snap me out of it. But definitely it's
well, you raise a good point, because as a parent, not only are you worried about your own livelihood, your own whatever's going on in your little system, but then you've got your other lives.
Totally.
And how are they adapting? How are they adjusting? How are they getting through this? How are they figuring out? We don't know the long term anything yet. I'm seeing immediate effects as my first went into high school with a pretty normal scenario now. So she went from like COVID year, small school to like wapow. Yeah. High school's back. Here we go.
It's crazy.
So my littles are adjusting okay, but we don't know yet. And then, you know, there's all of the, you're shaking it off, but you're trying to move forward too. So I get it, when you have so much in your brain as a parent, it can really create that anxiety in all different sorts of angles and forms and all sorts of stuff there. Now, Ben, I mean, you I'd be curious to hear your thoughts too, because for our listeners, and I'm just going to give it the high level view. You just had a very successful weekend at your business, which you didn't even know if it would survive 6 months ago, 9 months ago, 12 months ago. So you've had the lowest of lows. And now I'm not going to say the highest of highs, but at least you're back in the fight, right? And how's that all working for you? And overall, how are you feeling?
Running your own business, like that would just talk about just a dogfight through that, you know, and the frustrations about what you think should be happening, and those those perspective. Every business owner I know had different perspectives than people who sat at home on the computer all day. I'll say that. Obviously, when your livelihood is tied to the decisions of someone else, it's very a lot higher stakes. It's easy for someone to sit at home on their, you know, remote job and cast judgment on people that wanted to open, and that caused a lot of tension in communities. Obviously.
And your business,
yeah,
directly needed humans.
My particular
business live in person,
completely tied to, you know, community. So, but on the positive side, we found a way to kind of go dormant, and I think probably this is nationwide that every business that survived, every brick and mortar that survived, It came down to whether the relationship with the landlord, ours was good, so we survived. If your landlord was unreasonable, you didn't. It was so immediate.
Yeah.
But we are enjoying, and me, it was like strapping myself to a tree in an Amazon forest that's getting cut down. I said, there isn't no option. We are not, we can't lose the business. Can't. So when you make that, have that resolve that it's not happening, you just dig down and and then yeah, you pay for it later with anxiety, like you squeeze yourself so dry, you know, surviving that, like you know, it's just you're exhausted, you're mentally, physically, and spiritually exhausted. So yeah, we had those peaks and valleys, I guess, but in the end we knew we'd be okay. We're not going to be destitute. We had people, you know, like if you, like you said, step back and look at the safety net of our lives. We weren't going to be on the streets. We had, you know, we have enough people and resource in our life that we would be okay. So you got to get that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and then on the kid tip, you know, we tried to shelter our kids as much as we could. We had the advantage of being able to go to Holland for a long time, for a whole school year. My wife's Dutch, so we got to do that, and that, I know that was something that was, and the schools were open, so that was something that we thought was worth doing, even though it was extremely complicated, it was still worth it. And then on the broader layer of what you were talking about, I think, like, why are we so stressed as parents? I think communication and information age has a lot to do with it. We feel like we're missing out. We have FOMO. I don't think we recognize it all the time, but we see other people and kind of what life is supposed to be. And we don't work as a village anymore. So,
yeah, I mean, I agree with all that. I'm just going to take a break from that river to kind of wrap back into some points, which can both be helpful to you guys per this article. And then we can get to Mark as well. Number one here. Again, the title of the article is How to Feel Less Stressed as a Parent. Number one was accept that you can't be a perfect parent. And I've definitely, that's one of our credos of this show, is that we are not perfect parents and that we do have flaws, and we try to work on those things together and with our listeners and with stories and all that type of thing. But much of your stress as parents involves feeling guilty about how we failed our kids or worrying that we might make the wrong decisions. However, it is impossible to be a perfect parent, and the quest for perfection may actually be harmful to both our mental health and the mental health of your children. Research finds that an intensive parenting style and child centrism, consistently prioritizing your child's needs over your own, are associated with increased stress and depression. To avoid this, resist overscheduling your child with activities that stress you out. Prioritize your needs. Occasionally, do not feel pressured to engage with your child every moment of the day, which Ben always enjoys, meaning that you have taught me that boredom is okay. And I've done that in my house now, and the results are usually pretty great. Not only is perfectionism likely to cause psychological distress, being a perfectionist as a parent may also cause anxiety in your children and make them likely to become perfectionists themselves. Very interesting. And then the second one, learn how to tolerate uncertainty. Disruptions caused by the pandemic have dramatically increased our uncertainty in our daily life. Especially if you're watching the news these days, every day you're like, oh, is it going to be over today? Are we done? Did that really, is that coming our way? But that's a key to helping yourself out. Uncertainty is a huge source of stress and more stressful to people with high levels of intolerance or uncertainty, meaning people who tend to see any uncertain situation as negative. Intolerance of uncertainty is associated with anxiety and depression and post-traumatic stress following traumatic events. So they suggest research the treatment of intolerance and uncertainty if you need to, or some easy stuff here. Don't plan anything for the weekend. Just go with the flow. Travel new somewhere without doing any research. Try a new activity or hobby. Turn off your phones for a few hours. Our phones are one of the most common ways to avoid uncertainty. Mm-hmm. The more you practice tolerating this, the more you realize that it is not as bad as you thought. And then finally, practicing mindfulness may seem annoying to a stressed parent, but it only takes a few minutes. And we've talked about that at length. All right, Mark, before we get into number 4, 5, and 6, what do you have to say on this topic?
That's a lot to unwrap. obviously the pandemic, I think, was tough for everybody. My junior son, who's a junior in high school, we were at a meeting at his school, and one of the counselors said something very profound about their particular class of 2024, having gone through the loss of eighth grade graduations and all of the regalia and not having a normal freshman year. And so, you know, it's definitely affected him in a way where I'm monitoring the mental health of all of my children. The overscheduling thing is something that my kids are overscheduled, and because myself and my mother-in-law are the primaries in terms of getting them places, it's tough. I'm trying to teach them. So, you know, when I read about perfectionism, and I've been called that and people have poked me with that, I don't know that being on time someplace, being respectful and being mindful of your responsibilities makes me a perfectionist. I think that makes me a realist and somebody who's trying to raise people to be good friends, employees.
But where are you coming in with the what it's saying in here? Where's the synergy?
So the mindfulness part of it is really where you kind of back out and decide, you know, let me be thoughtful about where we're going, what we're doing, how we're doing it, how I'm talking, how they're listening, if they're listening. And by sometimes taking a minute and slowing it down a little bit and talking to them particularly about mindfulness and thankfulness sort of slows the whole house down. Even if we are in a frenzy to get someplace or do something, it kind of brings the house down to a more manageable state, to where we're flowing a little bit more easily and less, you know, clunky.
Well, so I'll go into 3 and 4, and I think that we do a good job of this, knowing you guys for 2.5 years, 3 years. Mark, you obviously longer. And then when I opened up for Ben and Arcade Fire, you know, when we did our quick tour of
just 3 shows. Egypt. It was fun.
Yeah, that was great.
Weren't you in Dubai, too? For a couple nights?
It was such a blur.
Yeah, it was a lot going on. Mindfulness, I think Ben and I are definitely in the space. Mark is as well. You're trying to get there, Chris. But it's this simple taking 15 minutes for yourself, because the best you is going to be the best dad and the best parent. But they do suggest apps, right? So here's some easy no-brainers, no pun intended. Headspace had the highest score. Smiling Mind is another one. Eye Mindfulness and Mindfulness Daily. And then they also recommend the Calm app as well. But just checking in with your own self 15 minutes a day, right? That's all it takes to start anyway.
Something to get you or stop you from thinking is what the value I have.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think optimism plays into mindfulness too, in a sense that see the glasses half full. Like, I know it's not always the easiest, but take that gratitude of the things that are right in your life and work with that. And, you know, we talked about this on other shows. Number 4 here is try to solve the problem. And I think that I've based this whole need for our podcast on this number 4. That's where I'll hang the hat. Like, we created this to learn about different ways to be better parents, better dads, little tricks, little articles, little chat sessions to constantly try and improve. It's not ever going to be right, but I think that we've done a good job. But they do say research finds that teaching parent problem solving skills helps to improve stress and results in improved child behavior. Parents who are taught effective problem solving also show fewer symptoms of depression and generally improved mental health. You know, and it's just simple steps for them solving this problem. It's, they say, clearly define your problem, write out the solutions, evaluate each solution, find the best solution that works for you, implement the best solution. And we do that pretty, I mean, kind of weird in a way, but like, I will Google if I'm having an issue in the house immediately. I'll Google some smart people articles and trying to figure that out. And then we'll test something out
real time,
and things I wouldn't have thought about, right? Just little tricks that you would not have thought about, how to deal with a teenager doing this, or a third grader doing this, or a grumpy parent on the golf course. Like, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
so much information, and then like I forget all of it like every month. Like, oh my gosh.
Me too.
100%. Those nuggets were working so well. Just yesterday, like, I remembered I had the best
trick ever with one of my kids for like a couple of years. I was doing good, and then just yesterday I remembered, oh, I stopped doing that with her, and it slipped away, and it was kind of turning things, using humor, her in particular. Humor works good if she's being a little stinker. Instead of reacting to that, I make a joke, and fwing, turns her table so fast. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how do you let that stuff slip away? So even if you have two or three chicks, chicks?
Whoa. Whoa. Hey, Fonzie.
Hey.
Hey,
hey no. It's going to be hard to recover from that one. Two or three tricks per kid. You know, that you just hold on really tight to. Like,
yeah, and I do find myself, I've even interviewed some of the authors that we've read, and I just forget. Yeah. And then I don't highlight or anything like that. I'm too lazy to do that, but I will definitely flip open a book to a chapter and be like, how do we do? Oh, that's what we do. Okay, now I get it. Especially having all the different ages of kids that we have and going into all the rando situations that we have. Here's an interesting one, and funny enough, I just watched a TED Talk. It's like the number two TED Talk of all time, and it's about this Harvard study that followed like 70 guys through life, and it started in the 1920s, and they followed them. They sent out questionnaires every year, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. There's some of them that are still alive in their mid-90s, and it was all about the happiness and satisfactions of life, like ultimately, there's the common thread that almost all the happiest participants, and it's the longest run study of its time or kind. You can go to TED and find it because I probably got the numbers wrong. But this is what stuck with me. It's all about social connections and relationships that keeps happiness, longevity. You can do all the blue zone stuff you want. You can drink the red wine. You can eat the beans. You can do this and that. But it's all about those relationships. And the more, you don't have to have the numbers, but the deeper relationships with as many people as you can, including family, is what keeps the longevity and the happiness in sync and on the same tracks. So that's what this says. Number five, seek out social connections. Research finds that support from family, friends, podcast mates, and other parents is essential to parents' well-being. Social support may also help you cope with traumatic events and reduce the risk of postpartum mood disorders. Unfortunately, many parents lost their social support networks during the pandemic. And, you know, I think I do say this. My wife and I, we don't air everything. But if, like, we're having an issue and we know somebody the comparable age is having an issue, we may chat stories with the parents. Like, how are you doing? Like, how are you figuring this out and developing a little mini tribe of people trying to move the needle the right direction? I mean, my friend, a good friend of mine, they even have a parent book club where they'll get these books. And then once a month, the parents will read the books. And that's how they all get together, like eight of them. They drink wine, but then they all try to get better as parents. But it's that social connect. It's that I'm not alone trying to figure this out. There are other people around me. And that's why I always like hanging with you guys. Cause I'm like, okay, I'm not alone. You know, we're not out spilling our family secrets everywhere, but when we do find the right combinations, I think social is really important. It says now it's time to reform your village. Reach out to other parents at your child's school, find local parenting groups, or try out new hobbies that involve people such as a running club, tennis clinic, et cetera, et cetera. When you built your village, don't be afraid to reach out for help. Number six is prioritizing sleep. Not going to lie, I'm pretty good at that one.
that's like my number one biggest downfall.
I'm 10 to 6 without a doubt, or 10 to 6:30.
Man.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm lucky if I get 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night.
Just why
think too much?
No, there's too many ages of kids in my house who
you shut them down though, right? Like here's your bedtime.
Sometimes homework and other things. When you get into AP classes and other things, some kids' high school work goes beyond.
No, I get that. I mean, our oldest is up later.
Yeah.
But I've given up on that, dude. Like, I can't outlast my kid anymore because she's going to bed studying.
Yeah.
Like 1 o'clock, and I'm like, dude, what? I'm going to bed. Good night.
It's 1 o'clock. It's not about outlasting. Yeah, it's about
night. You don't
it's
do about
the stomping the feet down the hallway and opening up the fridge and getting woken up and.
Yeah, we're lucky. We have two that sleep like logs, and then our oldest will stay up and do her stuff until she feels like she's peaked, and then she'll hit it.
I mean.
I mean, my oldest is 12, and we still do Lights Out. Are you telling me that I'm dreaming? The Lights Out thing is like...
No.
Once they're in high school, I think, and your age, like I'm
a newbie in high school, so I'm listening to you guys.
My junior's up till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but same. All the time. I'm so confused.
There's like, just so much homework. And
okay.
Stuff to do.
Well, you've got a combination of homework, extracurriculars.
Dumb.
Anyway, sleep is, I think, from the stress perspective, obviously, sleep is a huge reliever of that. Getting enough rest is, I mean, I know that I am at my best when I get at least 6 or 7 hours of sleep.
Well, wouldn't you say that you should make your kids, like, turn lights out? Because they don't know what's good for them. They also want to eat Skittles for breakfast sometimes. Sure, but you know what's best for them.
They're like, hey, I have to finish this assignment by tomorrow.
No, you don't. Lights out. I already do it.
We all got different rules in every family.
Oh, man. Academics is not nearly as important as they're just having sleep. Like, Daisy, my 12-year-old, she freaks out if she's not done with the project. I said, it'll be okay. And guess what it is? I don't know, man. There's too much pressure on these kids with school. It's out of hand.
I don't disagree. I'm just listening.
I don't disagree either.
It brings stress, though.
Well, I mean, this is about family and personal, right? Like, if your family's causing the problem, I'm just listening to you guys really because we don't have a huge problem. Our oldest will stay up until her work's kind of complete, and then she'll teeter out at 11:30-esque. But, you know, we've always been late eaters. We've been a little late bedtime people. We don't stress academics here. So, like, I see where you're going, though. Like, I see where you're going, and I see where you're going. So, but anyway, that's what the tip was, prioritizing sleep. And here's just some little things that are pretty obvious. Limit your caffeine to morning and early afternoon. Avoid alcohol and nicotine. Mark, put down the Marlboros. Getting regular exercise and making sure your bedroom is a quiet and calm place. I don't even bring my phone in my room anymore.
No electronics in the bedroom. I think
I've seen that in like 20 articles. And I've seen that don't get on your electronics first thing in the morning. Mm. Like, don't check your phone. Take a half hour to kind of wind in.
It's a tough one. It sneaks in, but
can't do it.
It's really good if you can.
I'm just telling you what I've read. I'm not saying it's good or bad or whether I've even tried or failed it. But I think
all of what you're saying is actually very important, but I think trying to get compliance family-wide is next very to hard. Impossible.
I can't sleep unless I have my phone up against my cheek and I rub it back and forth on my face.
Well, wait a second. Can't you just do that?
Yeah, but we're not going to talk about what you're listening to.
Shut down the Wi-Fi at 10, right? You got some little homework, man.
Well, I can shut down the Wi-Fi, but
you love it. It
doesn't help me.
All right, we're going to get in the home stretch here. All right. So number 7, again, these are the top 8 tips from Kara Goodwin, PhD, how to feel less stressed as a parent. Mm-hmm. Number 7 is reframing challenging behavior. As parents, our children's behavior can be a huge source of stress. To reduce this stress, try to view your child's misbehavior as a product of their developmental stage and lack of skills rather than intentional acting out. Mm-hmm. Research finds that parents who view their child's behavior in this way experience less stress. And then finally, if all of that doesn't work for you, be open, seek help from a mental health professional. If stress seems interfering in your everyday life, disturbing your sleep or appetite, or you feel it negatively impacts your relationship, seek a consultant with a mental health professional, such as psychologist, counselor, therapist, or social worker. Therapy, particularly cognitive behavioral therapy, is very effective in reducing stress and anxiety. Therapists can teach you methods for managing stress and tolerating negative emotions. After the pandemic, many telehealth options are available. And I've heard that recommended. I've heard it recommended from high school counselors. They're like, look, telehealth is legit if you get the right app and the right people versus like trudging to an office and sitting on a couch like Tony Soprano. But telehealth therapy may be easier for parents who live in rural areas without childcare assistance or just busy overall. So there you have it. That's your top 8. I think they're very helpful. I mean, there's a couple that are pretty obvious, but we talk about this stuff all the time, so they're obvious to us. It may not be obvious to the person that's coming to hear about the article.
The reframing one is good because it's hard to know what's normal. Like, my wife and I look at each other all the time and say, like, this can't be normal. But then, you know, that's why you got to talk to each other and you're like, oh, okay. Like, this is kind of a normal part of growing up, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
or not. I mean, I don't know. I was pretty tough to raise, but.
Remember, everybody's an individual. And that's the thing I keep telling myself when I'm dealing with, if I'm having a behavior issue with one of my kids, I think, okay, this kid isn't me. This isn't how I would have acted. However, this is not me. So what's age appropriate, like the article said? And then also I'm looking at different angles of addressing my kid's behavior. If, you know, like when my 7-year-old doesn't want to go to soccer, rather than being like, dude, you got to get your cleats on, I try and go, you know, let's talk about this. You know, what's going on? Why don't you want to? And try and get down to the basis of where his issue is, so that I'm coming from a place of love and concern versus aggravation. And that itself brings my stress level down, because when he sees I'm caring, he might still carry on. However, I feel better because I know I'm addressing it from a place of love rather than frustration. And so that part is a huge piece of what's been working for me, at least with, you know, him.
Sounds like a good article. I think I'll read it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of good nuggets in there, even though, like you said, it has a lot of things that we're kind of like, well, yeah, we know that. There's still some things in there that kind of goes, oh, okay, yeah, I'm glad I'm doing that. Or,
what's that saying? It's leave the earth better place than you found it.
Right.
Sure.
I kind of have that analogy with my kids. Like, I may not have grown up the best situation or person, but I'm trying to build better little humans and take all the knowledge and the negative from my life and then take that out and lift them up and get their oars in the water and help row that boat. So I think all of it ties together. I think you guys are good dads, but they're definitely all good tips to think about moving forward. Okay, speaking of moving forward, going to change gears the other direction now.
Top 10.
Coming up next, this or that.
Ooh.
The quiz that's sweeping the country.
It's quiz time! Parrot quiz! Quiz, 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 quiz.
All right, we took a little break there and had a heated piece of discussion.
I'm still mad.
You should be mad. Mark invented Roundtable is what we found out in the break. So we are down to the final 10 candies. So we've been recapping the – oh, wow, it actually went to 30.
Don't do it.
We're down to the top 10 and then this or that. Okay. Number 10, Hershey's Bars.
Hershey, just plain?
Yeah.
Straight up.
I grew up in Pennsylvania, so I got to say I like Hershey's. Reese's Pieces, a little E.T. for you.
Mm-hmm.
Nestle's Crunch comes in at number 8. Mr. Good Bar.
No.
Weird. Come one. On. Throw us.
Weird one.
That's number 7. And then a 100 grand bar comes in at number 6.
Harvey.
There I am.
You're a 100 grander?
Love it.
Don't hate them, but I've lost my love for them over the years.
Love them.
All right. Then after this segment, we'll go into the final 5.
100 grand, you can feel 100 grand eating your teeth away.
No, the interesting thing is they have made different packaging, so now they don't get as, like, if you get them and they're a little bit old, they're like eating a brick, but right now they're so perfect and chewy. They're like, it's like soft caramel.
It looks like it should be tossed into a pool and Bill Murray would swim in and
grab
it.
That's Baby Ruth. That's Baby Ruth.
Well, this 100 grand is the same feeling. All right, so Halloween candy aside, number 1. Phone in bathroom or no phone in bathroom?
What is this? This or that?
This or that.
Okay.
Phone in bathroom.
What do you have to say? Bathroom. Phone in bathroom. That's like my...
Unfortunately.
Never phone in bathroom.
I would miss all of your texts.
Do you realize how dirty that is, first of all?
Dude, it's dirty all the time. This is my office. It's on the windowsill.
It's gross.
The windowsill's not gross.
What can I do when I'm in the bathroom?
You leave the phone outside the bathroom.
What do you read?
The People magazine.
How do you catch up on Game of Thrones?
I was thinking more like around like my shower time, not like...
You bring your phone in the shower?
No.
I do.
That's bizarre.
I play music on it.
In the shower?
In the shower?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll put on a YouTube clip.
And watch it in the shower.
I'll listen to like headphone reviews or something like that.
You people are weird.
That's too much.
I would miss like 80% of your guys' texts. You guys always start this text string like
Hold you guys.
So now we can picture Mark without clothing in the shower reading our texts. That's
perfect.
That's
great.
Why did you go?
I'm gonna have bad dreams.
All right, number two. You guys are all phone and bathroom. I am no phone and bathroom.
Okay.
Right. Sort. Do you sort by price or rating?
For what? You're talking about
things,
anything?
Consumerism.
I usually
stuff.
Go rating.
You go rating?
Oh, yeah. Rating is number one for me. Is like
price
Amazon.
Or rating?
Rating.
This is pretty exclusive to like online shopping.
Well, it could be whatever you want, Ben. Could be,
whatever,
could be restaurant.
Like,
it could
I don't
be.
Like this one. No answer.
Okay. All right. Restaurants, Amazon, I'm rating.
It's an A or B, and he has no answer.
I got no
answer.
It's
fine. It's fine.
No.
He respectfully declined.
Yes, he declined. I'm more rating.
Yeah.
Because what I find a lot of times is that you'll get a better value item, and I'd rather have a good rating where 100 users love the $29.99 one. And, you know, the top one still gets good reviews, but the next best, cheap, yeah, I'm rating. Ben, I know that was tough. We're going to move on to number three. It's a little
tough.
Easier.
I just don't like it.
Sauce on the side or sauce on top?
On top.
On top, man. Come on.
It's got to be on top.
Yeah. It's one step less. It's all
the point
going
of
to the same place.
Like,
yeah.
Come on,
it's all about what it is. So, but, I mean, if I
ooh,
had it.
Yeah, it could be something
about
that
what
could get soggy.
But if I had to pick, I would say 9 times out of 10, I'm going sauce.
9 times out of 10. All right. There we go.
You know, sometimes like the sauce inside, you got to dip in and. You know.
Well, like a cheese stick is obviously going to be dipped.
I mean, there's
in the
always
marinara
the outliers,
later.
But come on, man.
Yeah, but if you're going to have something
with
the good
bolognese. Looks like nachos. Do you rather have the cheese over the top or would you rather dip them in like
on.
The movies?
I don't care if it's soggy. That's good. Yeah,
this
soggy.
Is a hard one because
that's good
some things just need to be dipped and some don't. That's simple. Here,
yeah. Name your favorite dipped food.
Probably a wing into some blue cheese dressing.
Oh,
but that's already got sauce all over it.
I know, but then the blue cheese. It'd be
so
weird
good.
If it were the Tabasco and the blue cheese was there together. I'm not down with that. Mm. So
I can never, as actually, much I like as I too. Don't do it anymore, when I was in college, just that 20-piece nugget on a Sunday morning after
$5.
A big Saturday night, if you know what I'm saying.
$5.
Hot mustard.
Dipping in that hot mustard. Kaboom.
Recovery.
Yeah.
Delicious.
I'm back in. I'm swinging.
give me a sharpener.
Give me an old Milwaukee. I'm ready to roll.
Where's my beer?
All right. Crunchy peanut butter or smooth peanut butter?
Crunchy.
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 Hmm.
Ooh.
I've gone back and forth over the years. My kids are now creamy peanut butter kids.
Really?
So that's what you get. Same here.
Yeah, same here. My kids are creamy. It's like
I figure I can put potato chips on it if I really need a crunch.
Sure,
that's good too.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh yeah, it is.
Peanut butter, banana, and potato chips
and bacon.
Mm-hmm. I don't do bacon.
I do bacon.
There's a little pig running around.
PB&B.
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 PB&B. Keep going.
Bacon, butter, and basil. All right, the final one. Ben, I hope you can decide on one of these. Zombies or vampires? And I don't know what that means, whether
vampires.
Rather get bitten by one.
No way.
Dude,
vampires. What, to kick it with? Like to hang out with?
Yeah, to hang out. Yeah, that's it.
You're talking about like the genre.
Well, the mythology.
Like zombies don't offer
genre.
Much.
They don't. And vampires, there's so much fun lore around.
Yeah.
No,
there's a lot of fun
the
lore.
Zombie genre around all the,
what
the
lore
Walking
is that?
Dead. And,
I mean, the Twilight kids went to school.
Yeah.
Like
no, that's
they went
hokey,
to school,
dude.
Played
come
sports.
On.
The Transylvania thing, the history is fascinating.
Vampires? Come on. That's like old school. I guess so. The modern. The you know, the virus
Listen.
That turns people to undead.
Do you like Children the Disney movie Zombies? Do you like the Disney shows?
No, I don't.
My kids
I think
love
it's
it.
Okay, yeah.
They didn't make a vampire. Well, I guess they did Twilight.
Zombies are fun, but vampires are cool.
Vampires are not cool. The hygiene, that's gross.
Hygiene.
You know?
Zombies was a very cheap move by Disney. Really dislike
well,
it.
Well, oh, you're so mean.
No.
It was
a very intentional messaging that I didn't appreciate. So I shut it down.
Hey, we got to have that.
Hey, man, I'm not going to get hoodwinked.
Yeah,
we got to
have the other
guy. I'm not getting hoodwinked just because it's Disney.
You know how I feel now after visiting on Halloween. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get the magic key.
Oh, geez.
Next year.
$35.
The Walking Dead turned me off on zombies forever.
Really?
They're too greedy. They're always trying to eat you.
There's nothing nice.
They're
about
just
them.
Annoying. Like, you think they're slow, but then they're such a pain in the ass. Like, they just keep coming.
Okay, whatever, man.
Or like there's the Brad Pitt zombie in World War Z where those suckers
those guys
aggressive.
Were fast.
They were like
cockroaches.
Spiders over
yeah.
the wall.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Scary.
I'm going to go vampires.
All right.
So you've earned it, listeners, if you've hung with us this long.
Let's go.
We're down to the final five. What are your predictions? Anybody
Snickers
think
number
we missed one?
Reese's Peanut
year.
Butter Cups.
Yeah, number two.
Definitely
Reese's
in there.
Number two. Snickers number
what
one.
What do we miss?
Not Snickers wafers.
I can, yeah, definitely.
No, Necco's are always in the worst
Necco wafers
ever.
We've talked about Necco wafers on the show before.
Terrible. I want Bit O' Honey to be in there, but it's not.
Bit O' Honey's not in there. Yeah. Violet
maybe
Crumble,
in the
80s.
How about a Marathon bar?
What the hell are you talking about?
Marathon bar. The long marathon
bar. Oh, with
bar?
The
that's like chocolate what? And caramel.
Bananas? Charleston shoes?
What was the one that's like Abba a taxi? Zabba. What's one that looks like a taxi?
Abba Zabba.
Abba Zabba.
Abba Zabba.
Oh, that's good, too.
Simmer down.
Sorry. We
okay, okay. Sorry.
Number five, the Butterfinger.
Yes, of course.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, they are pretty
crispity crunchity.
Yeah, they are.
Number four, my kids got me reinvested in these because they found all these cool flavors.
Sour Patch? What?
Kit Kats.
Kit Kat.
No. That's the cheapest chocolate in the world.
No, the green tea Kit Kat.
Green tea Kit Kat.
That we get at Daiso.
Pretty solid.
It's pretty ridiculous. Snickers, number three.
Number three?
What?
I'm just
blasphemy.
Done with
what?
Peanut butter cups are coming for one. I'm like,
hold on.
Snickers is like the bully.
Yeah.
Like, it's just because it has the coolest commercials.
No,
like,
no,
no dude,
it's
the best candy bar.
It's the candy.
It's the first one you go to when you get the Halloween assortment. Like, I sort it all out and it's all Snickers first.
Well, so much high quality chocolate is available in the grocery stores now. It's pushed out a lot of these that we had as a kid. So we never buy any of this, but I know we're talking mainstream 80s here. Nothing you said is before.
It's, I didn't write this, Ben.
I know.
This
I'm
is
just saying
thrillist.
It's interesting. Go ahead.
Wow, sorry. I'm shocked, though. Third. Okay.
Number two.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
No.
That's
what?
Number one, dude. See, I told
Twix.
You.
Twix.
It's number
then.
One.
Twix, number
yeah,
two.
Twix is a solid choice.
It's okay.
And the Reese's Peanut Butter Reese's Cups is number one.
Okay,
they deserve to have the whole thing read because they are number one. Not only, per the Thrillist writer, not only is it the greatest candy out there, it is also one of the greatest snacks, period.
Mm.
The perfect alchemy of peanut butter and chocolate, and it's so, so versatile, especially at Halloween.
I mean, it's been mimicked many times.
If you're devouring the mini with its jagged little chocolate edges, the medium cup in all one bite glory, or pumpkin, which serves as the vessel to get as much sugary peanut butter in your mouth as possible, it's your lucky day. There's no way to go wrong having a Reese's.
All right.
I'm not going to fight that one. I definitely will go for the Reese's and the kid bags before anything else.
Yeah. Straight to it.
All right. Well, coming up next, boy, that made me smile, but we're going to go on to more things that make us smile and we'll close the show. All right, it's time for things that make us smile, including the three gentlemen in front of me. We're going to release this around Halloween. We'll be headlong into football season. I'm not going to be a prognosticator, but I've got some very big games and teams on the docket in the next couple weeks that I'm very nervous about.
Exciting.
And the Bruins at this point in time are undefeated as well.
Bruins are doing well. Warriors about to start up.
Yeah, my Philadelphia Phillies, which may be eliminated by the time this released, but they're holding their own, and they got through the St. Louis Cardinals, and now they're hanging on against the Braves. But anyway, I digress. Things that make us smile. Well, I've got a lot of fun in general. Disney, huge trip, huge family trip, huge bonding. So much fun watching the kids just roll with each other as well. They really enjoy each other, and that's always nice to see. My oldest daughter's getting ready to audition for Footloose, which gives me an excuse to watch the movie about five or six times, and it's one of my favorite movies. So, yeah, we'll see what she gets, but that's coming up, and that's her sweet spot, and that's her happy place. So I'm excited for her. And then, Ben, to your wisdom,
yes,
my kids were on electronics today, and they were not talking to each other, and they were 10 feet away, and it wasn't homework or anything. I said, get off. You're done. I said, just for now. I said, here's your challenge. You have 1 hour to create a song. I said, I want lyrics. I want a bridge. I want a chorus.
Wow.
And I just, and this is my third grader and my seventh grader.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And they came up with the song and it was hilarious. That's it made so me very happy. And then my wife and I had some really fun and funny moments on the Disney trips. Then fall football, weather, life, Halloween, it's all good. How about you guys?
Me? Ben?
Anybody.
Well, I'll leave. Yeah.
Fresh orange juice.
I knew, yeah.
Fresh squeezed orange juice.
Squeezed orange juice.
Just get a wallow.
I had one of the best. I played. I got the old band back together last week and played. It's rare that my kids get to see me play, but
yeah.
You know, let them stay up late to watch me and the band play.
Nice.
We were short set, like six songs, and it was one of the best music moments of my whole career, whatever that career is. My daughter's 12 years old. She just said, I said the song we were going to sing, and she just said, "Can I sing it?" from the crowd. I said, "Heck yeah, you can." And there was about 150 people, and she hopped up there in front of everybody, and it was a ton of lyrics, and we just sung in the same mic like an old country duo, and she sang the whole song with me, and I was trying not to cry the whole time. It was amazing.
That's great. Awesome. Did you record it?
Somebody got some video. I was in the moment, but a buddy sent me a clip, and so that was, I've been smiling ever since.
That's awesome.
So it was incredible.
Congrats.
So, yeah, that and the same daughter, when we were driving this week, I decided to talk to her normal, like not dumb anything down, not tell her what she needed to do, but just, I'm going to talk to Daisy like a buddy. I'm going to try it. And she elevated, like, to where she talks to her friends, like she was talking to me, and we had a lot of laughs, and, like, I kind of had a foreshadowing of when we will be friends one day. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of when I decided to talk to her like a, not like an adult, but like a, just talk normal, like me. And so try it.
Look nice. At Ben putting that bar up there.
I know. I don't think I'm going to hit that, but yeah, my kids started rehearsals for Willy Wonka.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. She's like, we're doing all the singing throughout the house, which is always brings a smile to my face. And then she's also got a newfound interest in Marvel, so, like, we're starting to watch chronological order, so doing the Marvel thing. And then my oldest and I went to a tournament in Monterey and did an overnight there. And, dude, we just had a blast.
Enjoyed the pictures.
Yeah, we had a good time. We went to the Monterey Fish House, had some Chopino. So it was
lovely.
A great time, yeah. So, yeah.
Where'd y'all play?
Simple. Where were we? Laguna Seca.
Ooh, wow, nice. Good for you.
Yeah,
all fancy. Right. Mark?
Soccer season's in full swing.
All right, so that wraps up our show.
Oh, yeah. Dang it.
It's almost a tradition
now. He's so abusive, it's ridiculous.
It's like having, you know, Kimmel used to have Matt Damon, and then he'd kick Matt Damon off the show at the last minute. That's kind of the shtick.
No, my daughter scored her first goal this weekend. That was fun.
Nice. That's awesome.
We're still undefeated, which is nice.
The Vipers.
All the girls, yes. Castor Valley Vipers, yeah. All the girls want to play indoor soccer on my indoor soccer team, so I'm going to transition them all from outdoor to indoor over the winter, so that'll be fun to coach these kids then. Halloween is upon us. My wife started the decorating, which was amazing because she doesn't usually do that. So she started decorating and
won her over.
Do you guys have team meetings about Halloween?
No.
It's the Harvey effect.
She put a whole bunch of stuff up and then.
But you live in a cul-de-sac. Do people
nobody sees my Halloween stuff. It's all just for.
It's for him.
It's for my neighborhood. It's for my kids.
Hey, that's right. Perfect,
and that's what
right?
Matters. And then I want to give a quick shout out to a guy. His name is Tony. He makes these incredible Halloween sculptures. Go visit his website, evilseedcreations.com. Just amazing, amazing work. That makes me super happy to see somebody who creates big giant pumpkin guys that I want to
cool.
own. Yeah. You saw it. I don't know if you saw it.
You're going to get one.
No.
I messaged you on Facebook.
But was that what that was? I didn't know what I was looking at.
Anyway, yeah, just, you know, so Halloween's upon us. It's my favorite time of year.
What are you looking forward to most about Halloween?
I like trick-or-treating with my kids.
Candy.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had a house that had a lot of trick-or-treaters coming to it, which I don't get any, then I would enjoy setting my house up and having people, like, do fun things and create a nice environment for people to walk through and check it out. I mean, when I lived in this town, I used to have about 600 kids come by the house every Halloween, and it was epic, and it was fun. We set up walkthroughs, and I had friends working it, and, you know. But with kids, you kind of need to go trick-or-treating with them. So I'm going to hit the streets and run around and look at other people's decorations and, you know.
Mark, you need to come to my neighborhood. You guys, guess how many pieces of candy I handed out last year, and I ran out of
2,500.
Any other guesses?
5,000.
we ran out of 3,000 pieces of candy by 9 o'clock.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah. We get it's pretty crazy. Fun. We get crazy here too.
Is it
not
is it
our just... street, but about six over?
Oh yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean,
fun,
like we're talking 10 across on the sidewalks. Yeah, like, yeah. Okay. It's
like $200 worth of candy.
Oh no, it's about $1,000.
Yeah, because you live right in the thick of everything. Yeah,
it's
the heart, too.
We're
yeah.
at like the crossroads of crazy. So
isn't it ironic that Mark, who's lives for Halloween, but he lives in a cul-de-sac and up on a hill. So he's got the coolest house.
They're like, I'm not going up there.
But they're like,
even the neighbor kids won't come to my house. It's like I have this beacon, and I used to do all these lights and smoke and like wave my arms like, hey, everybody on the boulevard, come up the street. And they're like, they look at the street, they look at all the dark houses up and thinking, okay, these are all candy free homes. I could go to that house, but unless they're going to give out like full size Snickers bars.
It's a lot of work.
Then I'm not doing it. And I get it. I was a consummate trick-or-treater. I understand the mentality of the trick-or-treater. And I don't...
It's not effective.
When I bought this house, I said to my wife, this is the worst Halloween house ever. Wow. And every house we've looked at since, we're not going to move for a while. But I'm when we were looking at houses, I was like, now this is a good Halloween house. So I realize it's one day a year, but for me, it's a month. I want that house.
I don't know what I'm laughing at more. The fact that Halloween is factored into your house buying decisions or
you got to let him do his thing.
Hey,
know?
Man.
It's his life.
It's just a part of him.
This place has a great school district and the kids can walk and then the market's right here. Yeah, but Halloween.
It's not a good Halloween
house. Not a good Halloween house. And you get kicked out.
Yeah, I live in a great, I live in a wonderful house.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening in. We hope that things help you here and there. We hope you're doing okay out there. We know it's not easy being a parent in 2022, nor has it ever been in history, but it gets excruciating every once in a while. Please leave us feedback, comments, anything like that. We love striking up conversations with everybody online and we're the most active on Instagram. So that's there. But other than that, we're grateful for you guys. We're grateful for the three of you guys for making this happen every couple weeks or so. And our listeners, we couldn't do anything without you. It's our playoff song. I hear it in the background. So we're the Dad Time Out Show. Happy Halloween.
Love you.
And we're out of here.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Time Out Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.